Take a seat. That we don't become spectators in this moment, but we come anticipating that God wants to talk to us, and He wants to affirm us, and He wants to love upon us. And so just take your seat for a moment. I'm going to ask Renee, if you can just come share the word that you had. And then I'm going to ask Jamie and Umpo to also just come after that.
Just during worship, I just saw a very simple picture, but I think it just illustrates the heart of God for tonight. I just saw Him, in winter we were wearing these puffer jackets, but you know, you can wear it open, but you can still feel the cold. But when you zip it up, it's like the cold is kept outside and the warmth in. And I just felt the words that tonight there's going to be closure. You know, there's a zipping up for many tonight where you know, very often our connotation is we need to be dealing with sin and with certain issues when we think of closure, you know, saying goodbye to that. But I felt tonight really God's emphasis actually wanted to be on the celebration of the victory that He has done in many of our lives already. And so in the zipping up, it's almost that He wants to keep it close to you. He wants you to remember the warmth of the victory. And so there will be a natural falling away of certain things which are not of Him tonight. As we keep the cold out, that's going to happen. But I feel like He wants to remind you of the finished work of the cross and of the victory that He's done. And that's the closure that He's bringing.
James.
Okay, so during worship, I just felt Isaiah 54, verse 2, and it says, "Enlarge the place of your tent, and let the curtains of your habitations be stretched out. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes."
During prayer, I just felt the Lord doing that in our hearts. And it's so amazing how the Lord just also was telling Jamie that scripture. And then I just also felt Revelations 5. it talks about how John was looking, and he's like, and the angel's like, "Who can open this scroll?" John started crying, like saying, "There's no one's going to can open the scroll." And then in John 5, it says that one of the elders said, "Don't cry. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has won the right to open the scroll." And I just feel like, let the Lord allow that. If you're struggling, like, who can open my heart? Who's going to extend this tent? Allow. And Jesus says, "I can. I will." And just, yeah, just allow Jesus.
So since I came in here tonight, I just felt that there were individuals here that's been, you've had a thing on yourself of, yeah, I'll never be able to share the word, or I'll never be able to worship, or I'll never be able to pray out in front of people. And I just feel that God even wants tonight to change, even because your excuses, I'm an introvert, or I'm not intellectual. The word speaks of a new creation, and I feel that God wants to set you free tonight.
So just in line with that, I feel God wants to speak prophetically over people. Things where you've held yourself captive, you held an idea of this is me, God wants to speak to you. It's funny, we were saying, I prepared the elders even today, like, I don't know who's preaching, but maybe I'll preach, maybe Sean, maybe John or Stephen, and I felt all of us come prepared, because, and I've, in my preparation, I felt strongly something that God wants to release people in the prophetic. And that's where I was leaning. And yet, Chantal from Mossel Bay, and I haven't had any conversations with her. She came up front and she said, God wants to speak prophetically to people tonight. So how's that for the Lord? Eh? But I just like said to the elders, we don't even have to draw straws here. We just know, you know, which way. It's like, great. It's nice when the Holy Spirit moves like that. It's It's not a coincidence. Hey, it's God. You know it's God. In fact, my whole message is revolved around this. So I do have a message. I'm going to have to somehow sift through the thing. But it's about making room prophetically for the voice of God. That was my word. And as you know, we've just broken through here. Why have we done that? Why have we done that? For more people, for growth. And you know what? I realize, if you're a visitor here, we're not into mega churches, but we do believe in growth. We do believe a healthy church grows. That God is into numbers. In fact, it's a book in the Bible, for crying out loud. It's something important to the Lord, because the church needs to grow. It needs to be healthy. It needs to the kingdom needs to be extended. And so I just want to prepare you guys. I had a scripture that I felt the Lord just lay heavily on my heart. And that's not why I'm late, by the way. I came late. I was preparing. I was like so soaking in the Lord, but I wasn't lost in the presence. I was lost in the fact that we've moved from 5 p.m. to 4 p.m. and I'm still thinking I'm coming at 5. So I've still got to be conditioned to this. Lauren sends me a WhatsApp and says, "Are you coming?" I'm saying, "No, I'm still." And then I look at the time and I realize. So excuse me. I wasn't sleeping or anything like that. I promise you I was preparing. But I want to talk about making room for the prophetic voice of God. And I want to go to a scripture that it was in 2 Kings 4, verses 8 to 10. And I'm going to read a story about this Shumite woman who invites Elisha, who's a prophet. And she's this godly woman. And I'm going to just going to dive into the scripture right now, because I don't know how much time I have, but I don't want to take too much of the time of people that are going to bring words. And so here I'm going to go. Let's dive in. It said, "Now it happened one day that Elisha went to the Shunammite, where there was a notable woman, and she was persuaded him to eat some food. So it was, as often as he passed by, that he would turn in there to eat some food. And she said to her husband, 'Look, now I know that this is a holy man of God who passed by us regularly. Please, let us make a small upper room on the wall, and let us put a bed for him there, and a table and a chair and a lampstand. So it will be, whenever he comes to us, he will turn in there.'" Now, I find this very interesting. You know, I believe that this woman really represents the church today. She's a reputable woman. She's a notable woman. She's looked up to by the community that she's in. I know some of your versions, like I think ESV says she's a wealthy woman, but I don't believe that actually is the right word for that. She was a reputable woman. It kind of reminds me, you know, like the church. We read in Acts 5:13, it says, they were highly regarded among the people. And so here's this woman, and she's so affirming of Elisha. And she recognized that this is a man of God. He's not just this guy that claims to be a prophet, but he is a prophet. And through his regular coming, she identifies it and she sees it. And she's always welcomes him in with food and just a place, you know. But I realized too that just who she is, that she's hospitable in her character. And you know, the church, we are to be like that. We are to be hospitable. We are to be a people that welcome in the presence of God. You know, sometimes we've got to wrestle to do that. We don't wrestle to make it comfortable for visitors to, oh, they love it. They've got amazing worship. No, but we've got to make it that God wants to come. We invite his presence. And same way, Elisha here represents, he's the voice of God coming into the place. And she welcomes him. And so I want to say to you, you might be a person who's kind of skeptical on the prophetic side, you know, prophecies. I want to encourage you to open your heart this evening. I know there's some churches that are sensationalists that don't believe those gifts are for today. I want to say that is not true. And I want to read from Ephesians 4:11. It says, and this is talking about Jesus, what he's doing for the body, for his body. Okay, that's us, the church. And Ephesians 4:11, he said, and he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. Now, this is Jesus imparting himself into the church. He gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, I know some people believe, you know, anything today is pastors and teachers. But then it says this. Why does he do it? for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith. Unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son to a perfect man. Now, do you agree the church is not perfect yet? She hasn't arrived. She's still there. She's still going. She's still becoming more like Jesus, but she hasn't got there yet. And so God said, I'm going to impart something of myself in every area, whether it's apostolic, whether it's prophetic, whether it's pastors, teachers, but together in this, you guys are going to grow to become the perfect man that I've called you to be. And this is so important. And the guys that believe, you know, the prophetic is seized, the apostles, why is it seized? Because the church is not perfect yet. So why would God withhold certain things now? He's still got to get his body to the place he should be. You know, 1 Corinthians 14:1, it says, pursue love and earnestly desire spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. Okay, do you see prophecies are important? And Matthew 10:41, it says, one who receives the prophet because he is a prophet will receive a prophet's reward. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, do not quench the spirit, do not despise prophecy. See, you can't treat it with contempt. You can't ignore it. God wants to speak to his people. I believe that. This woman here is inviting the prophet in. And you know what? To eat with someone, you're actually affirming that person. When Jesus ate with the tax collectors and the prostitutes, you know why the Pharisees were so upset? Because in doing so, he was affirming them. He wasn't affirming what they were doing, but what he was saying is, I'm going to love you. I'm going to receive you. I'm going to show you that I care for you. And that made the Pharisees mad. And this woman, she's affirming the prophetic. She's inviting the prophetic. And I want to say to guys, invite the prophetic word of God. Don't treat it with contempt. Don't ignore it. Because when God speaks, there's something there that you've got to adhere to. You've got to listen. Okay, are you guys with me? And so she moves from this place of just having him for a meal, and she goes to her husband and says, listen, we need to renovate our house for this guy. I mean, imagine this. Hey. This is a woman that's generous in herself. She's generous. She realized this prophetic gift is not for me. I want this prophet to come here, and I want there to be a launch pad from my house to my little community, Schumann. I want this prophetic gift to flow into my community. And so she doesn't just invite him for a meal and affirm him, but she actually uses her place as a launch pad for him. And I would say this is the reason we believe in the prophetic. It's not just that you can feel good about yourself. When God speaks a word, it's that you can go and fulfill what God's called, that you can be a blessing into your community. Do you see that? And there's so much renovations like this. There's dust. I can tell you when we came in here after they had cut an angle ground, there's dust everywhere and there's cleaning to do and there's all these things. But we're doing it because we want to create space for the largeness of God that Jamie had. Stretch your tents. Enlarge your territory. Don't you just see how these prophetic words are all just tying up? Yo, I don't know. I can feel God's speaking. Not me. I just had a word that I thought was God, and it seems that it is in line with, you know, I pray, I do seek him, but God at the end of the day puts it all together, not a man. And so we got to be a prophetic voice to our community. Like this woman, she's preparing herself for this. And you know, she does it unselfishly. I love this picture because she says, because Elijah wants to bless her for doing this, you know, say, look, thanks, you know. Really appreciate you renovating your house for us. I mean, when Lauren and I moved here, we bought this dilapidated house. It was serious work to be done. In fact, we were sitting in one portion of our house, you know, using a tap outside as our basin, and we were living like that till our house renovations were done. And we had the TMT come and stay with us over that time. Remember that? I think it was hectic. It was just dirt everywhere. And I just had to say to the guys, look, I'm sorry. It's just what it is, you know. I don't actually have place for this right now. I mean, it's very inconvenient to have a team of guys, of about 10 guys to come and stay with you. And you've got, your house is a mess. But we did it because we needed to be a launch pad into our community. And it is it's inconvenient. When you're doing renovations, it's dirty, it's messy. I remember having tasting angle grinder in my toothpaste. You know, it was terrible. But we did it for the kingdom. We do it because we know God wants to do something. And so he says to her, look, what is it that can be done for you? And it's like God, as we seek the kingdom of God, God does the same thing. You know, as we prepare our hearts and our homes and everything, we open up, it's like in that, you know, it's like seeking first the kingdom. And God says, I see that you're seeking first the kingdom. Now, all those other things can be added. It's in the sense that as you begin to align your heart with my will, the things you ask for is going to be of the kingdom anyway. So I want to speak to you. She doesn't selfishly say, well, you know, because he says, you know, I think it's verse 16. It says, he blesses her with a son. And this is obviously the cry of her heart. She doesn't verbalize it at first. But Elisha's servant, Gehazi, picks it up. He says, look, her husband's pretty old. She's quite young. I think she hasn't got children. She's probably longing for something like that. And so Elisha prophesies that over her. And so that's the first time we see life be spoken over her. And he says, about this time next year, you shall embrace a son. And she said, no, my Lord, O man of God, do not lie to your servant. You can see there's a sensitivity to her in that. Don't lie. Don't put me in a spot where I'm going to be vulnerable. I want to say sometimes the prophetic word can do that. Some of you got longings. Some of you got dormant feelings and you're saying, oh, I don't want to, because to receive that, like I'm talking about receiving the prophetic, but you know, to receive prophetic, sometimes it's putting yourself out there. You're telling me to have faith for this. And that's vulnerable. There's a vulnerability to that. God, obviously this woman wanted a child for a long time. There's probably feelings and emotions involved with her in that. And she's like, please don't put me in that position. That's what she's actually saying to him. Because I'm sure she had some form of deferred hope. And forgotten dreams even, you know. And I feel there's some of you sitting here with that same thing. There's deferred hopes, promises, expectations, and this is not the way you thought it would look. And I feel God wants to speak to you this evening. He wants to speak life. And he wants to speak, and you've got to receive it in faith. And we read in verse 17, the woman conceived and she bore a son about the time the following spring, that what Elisha had said to her. Now, I'd love to tell you that this is where the story ends. I'd love to tell you that she walked away with the son and they were happy, but that's not where it ends. See, this is the thing that you've got to realize now, that the prophetic word spoken over you needs to be tested. It needs to be tested. It needs to be like put in you, and we read the story from verse 18 to 23. We read that the son has I don't know if it's like a heat stroke, but he dies. And this is her prophetic dream. You know, she's like, come on, God, you've just given me this thing, this beautiful prophetic dream, this hope that I've had. You've given it to me, and now he dies. I mean, come on, think of it. Why would God do that? Why would he do that? And I want to say this, I've noticed this in my life. I've been an elder for 20 odd years. I've seen that God gives people prophetic dreams, prophetic things that he has put into them. And he says, this, I want you to know this, this, I want you to know this. And people have to take that dream. And you know what the amazing thing is? They actually have to, God doesn't want that dream to become more important than him. And so he has to take you through a test in that dream, in that desire, in that thing that he's put inside of you, that dream, that gift, that thing that he's put in never exceeds who he is. And so God takes you through a test. And you know, in doing that, it's almost like there's a moment where you actually got to let that dream die. Have you had that? I've had that. How many have had that? How many of your dreams, God actually had to die? And then you realize it's not really the dream that dies, but it's the very human effort inside you that wants to make that dream come alive. It's every effort in Benny that wants to see this dream succeed. And God says, no, I gave you the dream, but I'm also going to be the one that's going to fulfill that dream. And so in a sense, you have to let this thing die. And you think, but
God, why would you do that? Because that's me. I'm dying with that thing. And God said, well, that's where I want you. And I want to read a scripture because it really ties up with scripture. John 12:24, it says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground into the earth and dies, it remains alone. Listen to what I'm saying. If it dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Ask David. He had a dream. Let's anoint him. Saul wanting to kill him. You're thinking, what's happening right now, God? I thought I'm meant to take the throne. Think of Joseph. Beautiful picture. Hey, your brothers are going to serve you into jail. How many years? Like, this is my dream, God. God has to kill it. Think of Abraham. And I feel Abraham's a pretty more sensitive subject because it's his son that God asks him. I don't think you can get more vulnerable than that. Your own child. That's your dream. I want you to lay that thing down. Think of it. I mean, Genesis 17:5 says, now I'll make you a father of many nations. Now that's the promise. That's the dream that God gives Abraham. I'll make you a father of many nations. And then we read in Genesis 22:2, and he said to Abraham, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love. Okay, God's stating the obvious right now. And go to the land of Moriah and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. You see, Abraham's son was the seed, but God had a bigger promise than just his son. What did he say? I'm going to make you a father of many nations. I've got a dream for you. It's going to start with the son, but it's going to be of many nations. But I want you to lay that little thing down, your son, your only son. I mean, God's really kind of puts his finger on it. It's sensitive. But this woman's sitting in the same position that Abraham was, except her son has died. Abraham's son never died. And so this woman has to lay her son down, in a sense. And she takes him to her marriage bed. Now, this is what's interesting. She takes him to the place where maybe physically he was conceived, but she knows that he wasn't conceived there on the marriage bed. He was conceived when Elisha said to her, you will have a child. That's when it happened. It was in the spirit that that child was conceived, not on the marriage bed. And so she takes her son back there. And I want to say this too. I feel to some of us, it's like we want to go to the day that we think things happen in our own strength or when we did it. And I feel God say, go back to the word. Go back to the beginning where that word was spoken. You know, I'm reminded in 1 John 1, it says, in the beginning was the word. And the word was with God and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things that were made through him and without him. Now listen to him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. Can I say, even your dream, without him, nothing will happen. If it's not outside, if it's outside of his word, it's in his word that it's made. And this woman goes back to the source of the word. She goes back to the source. She doesn't run, you know, to doctors. She doesn't look for medicine. She doesn't tell her husband even. It's an amazing thing. She goes back to the source of the promise. She says to her husband, all is well. She says to the servant, all is well. And she's going now to Elisha. And he's 30 kilometers away from where they are. I mean, that's from here to, what, Sedgefield. And she takes it, goes on a horse, and she goes now. She's going to the source where this prophetic promise was given. She's going to the guy that, of God, the man of God. And I want to quickly read this. When the man, I don't want to read this whole portion, but because of time constraints. But anyway, she goes through to Elisha. She doesn't even talk to his servant. She actually pushes him out the way, you know, to get to Elisha. She was so determined. She's going to go to the source where this prophetic word was spoken. And she says this to him. She says, then she said, she asked Elisha, did I ask my Lord for a son? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Can you hear the grief in her heart? You know, it would have been so much better not to have even had a dream. I feel some of you are like that. It's like it would have been so much easier to not have believed it in the first place. Now you put me in a spot, you position me where I've had to give my heart to this thing. Because, I mean, let's face it, God didn't just take your son. There must have been a few years involved, because remember, he was walking in the field when the stroke happened and he was talking. So he must have been, what, probably about 5, 6 years, I don't know. But there must have been an attachment to her. Can you imagine? Saying, why did God do this? I feel some of us here. Why, God? Why put me through this? I didn't need to get that prophetic word in the first place. God saying, I spoke that dream over you. You see, God wants that attachment to us because we need to have faith in believing in Him. James 5:16, it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. And then it says, the effect of fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And we see how Elisha prays over his son. But you know, I want to say sometimes, guys, we can have a prophetic thing, but sometimes we not only speak over it, but we got to pray over that thing. Might be your children. It might be certain things that of their promise. Sometimes God wants us to grieve over those things because they're so precious to the Lord. But God doesn't work in vacuums. He works with an earnest heart. That's what we read. It's effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man that avails much. And I want to see, sometimes sending out a prayer emoji is not enough to someone. Sometimes we've got to grieve over people. I've had to. I can't say I grieve over everyone all the time. But there is something that sometimes God puts a burden of one of you in my heart. Now I pray and I intercede. And we can't even sleep sometimes because of that. Because it's God's burden. It's not mine. I don't always know what's happening in people's lives. It's God's burden. And we got to pray into those things. And when Elisha comes into the house, he saw the child lying dead on his bed. This is verse 33. And he says, and so he went and shut the door behind the two of them. And he prayed to the Lord. Sometimes we need to shut the doors. Sometimes there's going to be grieving mothers crying outside. You have to shut that door. And sometimes there's a perplexed servant of yours that just, I don't know what went wrong. I did this, everything. No, you've got to shut the door. And it comes moments in our lives where we've got to sit before the Lord and say, God, what do you want? No, I'm not going to listen to those cries. I'm not going to listen to those voices. What do you want to do prophetically? And we see this beautiful picture. I'm not going to be able to share this all, but Elisha lies over the body. And it says he puts his mouth on his mouth and his hands on his hands and his eyes with his eyes. And I really feel that's a prophetic picture. Because, you know, it's almost like, can you imagine being in that position where you're lying on a dead child like that? Imagine what that must feel. It's like this person is dead. Sometimes God wants to put us in a place where we can identify with that death that's happened. And it's actually a beautiful picture of the cross. But Paul even says this in Philippians 3, verses 10, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection and fellowship of his suffering and being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Now, Paul's saying, I want to know the resurrection of Jesus. I want to see the power of God flowing through me. But I know in order to do that, I've got to be in the place where I understand death. And I think sometimes for us, we need to be in communities that we come face to face with people that are dead, church. We can't just be with each other. This is a good place to build faith into one another. But we also got to be out there where the dead are. Those who haven't received Jesus. Those who don't know him. And sometimes we've got to become face to face with them. We've got to look into their eyes. When you see dead eyes, you see a person who's broken, who's got heartache, who's disappointed. No hope. Elisha was staring death in the face, and we called to do the same. And it says, and his mouth is with his eye. You know, the funny thing is, where it talks about his mouth, it's where you get the word pneuma. It's where we get the word breath that comes from. Pneumon is where you get the word lungs. And so it's kind of the picture that we see when Jesus prayed over his disciples. I don't know where that scripture is. Where he prays and he breathes his spirit on his disciples and he brings life. And so Elisha sees, but he breathes, and then his hands on his hands, and I feel that speaks of the power of God just working through him to bring life to this boy. And it's what we're called to do, church. We are called to be that. To begin to see what they see, but to begin to see and show them what Jesus sees. And so in closing, because this is closing the message now, I'm not closing what I feel God wants to do, because I do feel prophetically God wants to speak into people's lives right now. I've got to be vulnerable because I prepared some of the leaders for this. But I haven't asked everyone. So if you're not a leader and you're feeling something, can I ask that you come to me first? Because, you know, the Bible talks about a prophetic word as something that's got to encourage and build. And so not that I'm going to stop you. I just want to hear it and filter because I don't know everyone here. But if there is a word that God has, I don't want to, like I say, despise the prophetic. But I do want to make sure it is the Lord speaking. And if you come prepared tonight, even with that, I want to say, come in faith as you share that word. And I don't believe everyone here has maybe met the Lord. I don't know. But I do believe God wants to speak over you too. Like Elisha lay over that body, you know, Jesus came. And his arms were stretched out like this. And he lay over us, actually. He became life for us. And those that receive him, we will have life. He wants to give us his heart, his dreams. He begin to see again what he sees. And we begin to feel what he feels. And as he breathes life over us, that's where life comes. It's from him, the source. And so I want to encourage you this evening, and I'm going to create an opportunity after this for those that maybe have never met Jesus, that we do that. And so I don't know, how do we start this? I just want to feel as you feel led. The guys that feel they've got prophetic words. Maybe I want to kick off. Can I do it like that? I know it's always vulnerable moments. But I think it's good that we do it as leaders too. And what's this thing? The Bible says you can eagerly desire the prophetic, but it's God who wills and to do for his good pleasure. And so, yeah. Campbell, I feel for you. I had a word for you. And while I was preparing, even for you and Brittany, sorry, hit a blank. For you and Brittany. And one of the things, as God has got such a call on your life, and I want to say it moves past worship. It's worship is a small part of what God has for you guys. And I feel there's a season that God is going to ask you to actually lay seeds down. And I feel that prophetically for you. And the reason God wants to do it is because it's not just as you lay a seed down, there's a harvest of what God wants to reap through you. And so I really just want to, pray that over you guys for the next season that you have, that God would show you what that actually means. Because it's one thing to preach a prophetic word, to share a prophetic word, but it's another thing that God actually deposits that thing in your heart, that you begin to see it clearly, and he begins to define that as you walk out of here and into what God has for you. So can I pray that over you? Okay. And if anybody else has just got a word for them specifically, please come to me, because while we are on them, let's just say. So Lord, I want to pray just for Brittany and for Campbell, Lord Jesus, for the season that they are in. Lord, I see such an anointing and such a gifting on their hearts. And Lord, I know that it's more than just worship, Lord Jesus, or being a good sound musician, Lord, but there's a skill within him that you've anointed his hands, Lord Jesus, to do a work. But Father, I believe his heart is
at the moment, the area of the test. It's not the hands, it's the heart. And Lord, I pray that as his heart just is receptive to your seeds, Lord, as he lays down what he needs to lay down and Brittany lays down what she needs to lay down, I pray that in that there's going to come a harvest, an amazing anointing on this couple, Lord, because of what they laid down. And we know it's actually you that does the work, Jesus. You're the one that brings life. You're the one that brings the harvest. You know, like Paul says, one waters, one plants, but God who gives the increase. And so I thank you, Lord, for the next season, that they would see what is clearly given by you, Lord, that they can sow, and what clearly is distractions, what's clearly of what the enemy maybe wants to try and sow, even doubt and questions, Father, that they would see it clearly, Lord, through the Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen.
I don't know you at all. I just, while Benny was praying, I saw pictures of Greek letters, and I really felt like God, not asking you to study Greek, but to dig deep into his word. I really feel like he actually is asking you to study his word deeply, not just to read it faithfully, but actually to mine his word. And I'm judging that you love worship and can lead it, but I think that I really feel that in the digging deep, you're going to discover truths which will enable you to lead others into the presence of God, because you understand the truth of his word. So not just to be relying on your gift in the music side and your passion for Jesus, but to actually be firmly grounded. And so how that looks, whether you know people or you come here to Benny and you find out how to actually study it deeply, but I believe that's going to be key in the way forward.
Anybody else? A little bit, honey, great.
I saw you walking with a bucket, and there's a hole in the bucket, and you are holding the hole towards yourself. And I was seeing this picture while he was talking about the seeds that have been that he feels you need to sow, and I felt like you have an earnest desire to water the seeds, but you are holding the imperfection of this bucket so that people don't see it. And I feel that part of what the Lord is asking you is to turn the bucket around. No one cares. People care enough to want to love you and walk alongside you. The hole, we all have holes. And I feel the Lord is saying to you, your vulnerability in this house will take you much further than you could ever go by hiding the hole.
Sure. Anybody else? Yeah.
This is just a scripture that I've been chewing on for the better part of a week now, and I had somebody in mind, but I think it's for me actually. John the Baptist. He was baptizing people, and people were coming from Jerusalem, from the cities, and from all over to the wilderness. They were going to the wilderness to hear this new truth, this new thing. And then the Pharisees rocked up, and the Sadducees, and I'm paraphrasing now, and he said to them, why are you guys here? And one of the things that he said to them is, just because Abraham is your father, you know, and that's not good enough. And I'm actually going to read it. He says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming to where he was baptizing, he said to them, 'You brood of vipers, you brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? Produce fruit in keeping with repentance, and do not think that you can say to yourselves, "We have Abraham as our father." I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. And I felt that there's a big aspect of me, and there's someone else in this, Mark. This could be for you as well. That the past is finished. Yes, Abraham's your father, but that's then. That's a promise that it's absolutely, the Pharisees actually had every right to think that and hold on to a promise. But John was saying to them, there's something new and there's something now. And come now. Because there's so much life and there's abundance in that. And dwell in that. And I believe that's what he's saying to me. Yes, the past is important. The past has happened. But that's old. It's now. Come now. And be open and be available. And I believe that, you know, as I was reading that, Mark, I thought of you. That those are things of old. We've been, there are many of us here that have, we've been giants in certain areas and done things that many people would never know of. But that's gone. It's now. Where are we now? You know?
Yeah. Hello. I just felt something for the young people here. Probably like the guys that are in high school and people that are just still quite young. In 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example of the believers in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. Encourage you guys to go read through Timothy. I just want to encourage you guys to live a life that will bring glory to God and everything like that. And it's going to be hard, especially with how the world is going now. And I just want to encourage you guys. Me and my girlfriend are coming from Stellenbosch, and it's a very different environment there here. And I just know that the younger guys, you guys are going to bring something new to the table. And I want to encourage you guys not to let the world push you back, push you down, but that you keep running for the Lord, keep striving for Him, because there is a gift on your life. And don't let the world tell you that there's not.
Mine is also for the young people. I really felt for 20 and the junior youthies from 10 to 20. So I actually want the attention of all the young people. Can you look at me? You know, when we were praying this evening, I just...
What's this? I was looking at
you. Come on. Just no, Isaiah 61. I always remember, you know, I always repeat 1-3, and it talks about the Spirit of the Lord being on us and anointing us. But tonight I read verse 4, and I really felt this was for you young guys. It says, they will rebuild the ancient ruins, repairing cities destroyed long ago. They will revive them, though they have been deserted for many generations. And I feel that there is such a call on your lives to reach places which we can't, but that you're not just going to touch lives, you're going to repair them, and you're going to restore them to their former glory, the glory that God has for them. And so I really want to encourage each one of you, each one of you, don't that thing, let people look down on you because of you, but I want to encourage you to be faithful in pursuing the Lord. Get to know Him, not just His Word. Reading His Word is important, but know how He speaks to you, because He speaks to each one of us individually. But He has a call on your life, and it starts now. It's not for one day when you leave our homes. It's not for one day when you're at university or one day when you've got your act sorted out or you know what you're going to do in life. It's for now. It's now. And I don't know what that looks like. We don't know what it looks like because God is doing something. But he's called you to rebuild these ancient cities the way that he planned for things to be.
Okay, so I also had the same one as Anton, but I've also got this for the young people. Fight the good fight of faith. But as for you, O man of God or daughter, man or woman of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness. Pursue it. You've got to go after it. Godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight for the faith. Take hold of eternal life for which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. So you've got to flee, you've got to pursue, you've got to fight, and you've got to take hold.
Awesome. Sure. Oh.
Estelle, I've got a word for you, and it comes from Ecclesiastes 3, and it says there, for everything there is a season, a time for every matter under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance, time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to seek and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to tear and a time to sow. And to keep the silence and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. And I believe you are in God's perfect time. And he has set this time for you to be healed. And a time for you to embrace. And a time for you to dance. And a time for you to laugh. And God has set that time. And in him you will find that.
So yesterday, I didn't know anything about this, but I just felt the scripture for, I don't know who it is, might be 10 million people or one person. Then Adonai answered me, Habakkuk 2, verse 2. Then Adonai answered me, he said, write down the vision clearly on the tablets so that even a runner can read it. For the vision is meant for its appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. It may take a while, but wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. He is inwardly not upright, but the righteous will attain life through trusting faithfulness.
Awesome. I just want to bring a bit of clarity even tonight as we've been giving prophetic word to people, you know, as we read, it's God that puts that dream in us, and it's God that makes it work. And so the prophetic really is preparing our hearts for the trajectory that God wants to go. In a sense, it sets a direction that you can see. And the Bible says, you know, man plans his ways in his hearts, but his steps are ordered by God. And there's a sense in which the plan is made known. But how that happens, it's God that's going to do it. And so even tonight, I'm feeling God's just setting direction for people, setting places where there's been no vision. You know, the Bible says, without vision, my people perish. There's a sense in which God wants to give vision and direction for specific people. And it's needful because, you know, if we aim at nothing, we're going to hit it. And God is an intentional God. He's a purpose God. The Bible says you are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works that He has prepared in advance that you should walk in them. And so there is a sense in which God has prepared in advance, but that you've still got to walk in those things. And so in a sense, you're turning your heart to that thing. Because part of repentance is that. It's changing the direction. I was going this way, but I'm going this way. And God has been very specific in that for individuals tonight. And so that's what we're doing. It's good that we just understand this. I've got a word for you, V. I feel God's really calling you to a place of intimacy with Him. Really, that he loves your heart. He loves you. And He desires to spend... I know there's something in your heart that longs to spend time with Him. And don't lose that. Don't get caught up in other things. Get stuck into just being in His presence and just close the door and just worship Him. God longs for that. He loves you, and He loves you. It's almost like I can sense a real compassion of God over you. And it's a sensitivity that God has with you. And so don't hold back in just loving Him. Because I feel in that God's going to show you the desires of His heart, the intimate secrets that He's going to share with you that He's not going to share with other people. And so open your heart to that. I really feel that for you. Amen. Oh. You got a word, Stephen? Wonder. Great. Okay.
Come on. Yeah. Yeah, I have to say I've been procrastinating for about 10 minutes to share this because it's I'm actually experiencing the fear of God so heavily on me as I want to carry this across. So that's the first reason. The second reason I'm in physical pain, so sharing is difficult. But God, I made I said something very lighthearted recently, and this is not for someone specific. I can't say who. I think it might be for more than one person. And I think I said it at youth or somewhere where the Lord said, we always talk about God's presence. And that means He is here. And so in that moment, what I said was this. I said, when we say the Holy Spirit's present, are we allowing God to come into our presence also? And what I mean by that is, are we here? And there's so many examples in Scripture on this, but a new wine and old wineskin. And just in this moment, I'm almost shuddering at the fear of missing what God wants to do. Because, and the guys who are in our com will know, I shared a bit on this recently. It's such a scary thing how the nation of Israel was anticipating this Messiah that would save them from slavery for thousands of years. And when Jesus came, they missed Him. Because they were so trapped in the oral traditions and what they thought He was going to be like. They were so proud. They lacked so much humility in saying, I know exactly what I'm looking for. And then they missed the Messiah. And so I believe the prophetic word that God's laying on my heart tonight is, I can't even find the words for it, but it's, woe to him who will not hear what I'm saying right now. Forget, and the scripture that came with that for me, I'm going to quote from Isaiah 43 again. And I think this goes to those, it ties in exactly with what Sean has said. Those who have had great eyes in the past and who God's used mightily, but they've taken a back seat in the last while. The word I shared with Benny before the meeting was this, get off the bench and get in the game. We're all in the game still. And the scripture is this, remember not the former things. And take this for yourself. Don't remember the former things. Don't even consider the things of old. Behold, I'm doing a new thing. And you know what? This was said to a nation who was in captivity in Babylon, in exile. And they were thinking, we're going back to Egypt. No, please not. We're going back to Jerusalem. And God said, no. I'm doing a new thing in Babylon. An exact same thing happened when Jesus came. They're like, yes, Lord, we know exactly what you're talking about because we created for ourselves a God as we want him. And he's saying, woe to him who will not hear what I'm saying right now. So my call is, be humble. Forget everything you know. God wants to do a new thing. Open your ears, because the manna that you received yesterday is stale, and it means nothing today.
Thanks. So this week, God reminded me that many, many years ago, I questioned, when I came to church, I questioned God why it was always the same people that came up front and gave a prophetic word. I used to sit and I used to say, Lord, why is it always the same two or three people that have a prophetic word? And I was very cynical about that. I was cynical about the fact that those same two or three people have a word. And this week, as I was praying, God showed me that in that cynical mind that I had, that heart, it was because I did not step out and actually, I wasn't obedient in my prophetic gift that he gave me, and neither were other people. And as I prayed about it this week, God said, but ask me for that prophetic gift. And I believe that even tonight, there are many of us sitting on our gifts, whatever it is, be it prophetic, be it whatever it is, because I know that there are many. I look here, and it's almost as if there are markings above your head that he's showing me that there is prophetic, there's prophetic, there's prophetic, and many other gifts. But we are sitting on those gifts, and we are going to be judged according to that someday. And even in Com a few weeks ago, he showed me, I shared a word, and he showed me a pot that was boiling. It was actually just simmering. And the simmering was going lower and lower and lower. And after Com, Theo and myself were sharing with one another that in order for that to be boiling, we have to top it up. And to top it up, we have to top ourselves up with the Lord. And tonight, I just want to encourage you, what are you doing with, are you simmering, are you boiling, are you sitting on your gift, whatever it is, because you know what that gift is, what are you doing with that gift? Step out and use that gift. We need each other. Don't be like I was a few years ago and just go home and go, it's the same few people that come up front. I can see who it is. I can see who it is. Must I call you out? We've got lots to say afterwards. Yeah.
Before she came and shared what she's sharing, I just felt this very strongly in my heart. And yes, it applies to specifically the younger people, but I think particularly to everyone around you, and I include myself with that. So Sean, you gave me a bit of a nudge there as well. So for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of hands. And I just feel as like the Lord saying, nothing is new. It's brand new, like it's you don't know about it. The gift's in you. Some of you know it's there, and yes, through the laying on of hands, it'll be confirmed. Through the elders, through the people praying and laying hands on you. So that'll be confirmed. But we're aware and take courage for this. For the Spirit of God gave us, does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to live a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his great purpose and his grace. I've had prophetic words spoken over myself 20 years ago, but I'm standing in front of you today as well, and it's like never ever, doesn't matter how old or young we are, I think the word of God applies for every single generation of us to stir up the gift that is within you. And I think Benny's word tonight is very appropriate in the sense that if we don't stir up the gift within us, the life of God within us, there are many people that will go lost for all eternity. There are people who need to come into the kingdom. People need to fill these four walls, not because of filling four walls, but becoming a part of what Jesus is doing in the earth today, in our midst today, and in the city today, and what he wants to release into the earth, the new life and power that he was all about who he is.
Thanks.
The musicians, have you got a word there? Hey, come, the musicians.
So if Mark and I am up front, you know it's a spread. I've got a word for Heather. I was seeing tall green grass fields and the sun coming up and the sun going down, up and down, up and down over time. And then this small green bud, flower bud, opening into this white, big, solid flower. Not a daisy, like a fat, white flower. Solid, strong flower. Yeah.
Okay. I think just a word of encouragement for all of us. We were busy with foundations just this week. And in preparing for that, you know, when Jesus said that it's good for him to go away because he will send us a helper, and I was just meditating on that helper. You know, sometimes we sit here and we think it's difficult to hear God's voice. So the conclusion is, if Jesus said that the Holy Spirit is a helper, either he was sadistic in the sense that he was no helper at all and we find it very difficult to hear him, or we are just not in tune, or we're not hearing, because surely he's not going to give us a helper and then make it difficult for us to hear him. So sometimes we make it more complex than what it is. Sometimes we sit here and we think, God can't use me. Surely this is not me. And it's actually just stepping out in that which God has deposited. You know, when let's use a painting. When there's a painting on the wall, the painting is beautiful in and of itself. But the painting is purely a reflection of the ability of the painter. The gifts that God has given to us, surely it is not about us. It's not about the painting. The painting is shouting and saying glory to God because he has given this thing in me. And that is beautiful as long as that is on display. Inside and hidden, it's worth nothing because he will not get the glory. He will not shine. This thing is just for one purpose, is to make him look great. Because he has given us gifts. This is like wedding gifts that in the Old Testament, you know, when there was a bride, she would display these rings and these jewels and these things that the bridegroom gave to her. Why? Because people would look at her and say, that's what your bridegroom is like. So the gifts that's in us is not for us. It's worth nothing. And I just feel there's a lot that's been deposited. Benny just shared that word, you know, that God has created good works for us to walk in way ago. And you know that those works is just one thing, is he has done it inside of us. Let him get the glory. But we have to walk in them. We have to put it on display so that people can see. And so I just want to encourage, and we sit under the word Sunday after Sunday. We hear, let's be honest, we're fat. We've had enough to feast on that should be able to sustain us for life. And it's the same word that all of us are giving. I often think that if we've been in church for more than 3 years, we probably have heard every message from most angles that we'll ever hear for the rest of our lives. What are we doing with it? What are we doing with the things that God has placed in our hands? And let's use that to glorify him, to hold him up, to say, this is him. He's so beautiful. He's given me gifts. And this is what he is like because I'm displaying his gifts. Let's not sit on this and be worried about what people will think. Because it's not about the painting, it's about the painter. Let us display him as beautiful and gorgeous and glorious and high and lifted up, and the one that can take rubbish and make it into something beautiful. That's what he's done. Let's do that.
So just, I want to just, while the worship team are going to play, but I don't know if everybody here, first of all, have given their life to Jesus. So that's the first call I want to make. But I also feel that there might be some people that have never received a prophetic word. And I feel God wants to set you, like I said, on a trajectory. He wants to set you on a path, and it'll only be a confirmation of his word. It'll only be that thing which is of himself. God will revealed to you. And so I want to encourage you, if that's you and you just wanting to hear God and you've never heard Him and His direction for your life, that we can pray over you and ask the Spirit for His purpose in you, for His vision for you, and to pray that over you. And it's not to say everybody's going to come with a prophetic word, but maybe someone will. But sometimes I believe that sometimes God gives us a prophetic thing through just the Scripture, or a word of encouragement, or a word of knowledge. There's so much within the gift of the body of Christ that can be brought to a person to set them on a trajectory. It's set them on the path that God has for them. And so I want to create space for that. If that's you and you haven't had and received a word for God, can I ask that you come forward and we can pray for you? I'm not saying you'll get one tonight. We got to seek the Lord in this. And maybe God will just reveal something, who knows, later on even. I don't want to put the Holy Spirit in a box, but I do believe that we should be given prophetic words, and should be actually more of a confirmation to us that this is what, like Mark says, that God has put that seed in our hearts, and you know, hey, this is definitely, I can confirm in my heart that this is what God has done and this is what He wants to do. And so I want to create space for that. If that's you, can I ask that you come and we pray for you? That God would set a direction for you as a father, as a mother, as a child, your job, your career, your marriage, you single ladies. Hey, you want to know the person that God has for you. Am I right, Danny? And I'm not saying we're going to pray, prophesy marriage, although there is a possibility. But I do want to say, be careful when you prophesy, because we got to prophesy in the Lord. We can't do it because we want to do it. It doesn't come because man wills. It comes because the Holy Spirit departs that. And so if you do have a very directional word like that, can I ask that you bring it to the elders first? If you're telling someone, I feel God's moving you to Timbuktu, come and talk to us first, because I think we do need to process things. I think we do weigh it up seriously. Or if you got a word for someone that you're going to have a baby, please, let's be sensitive to the Spirit, not to people's feelings, but let's be sensitive to what God wants to do. And there's someone holding you accountable to that word, because there has to be accountability in this. Because if it's not God, it can set people up for disappointments. But if it is God, man, it sets people up for success, because God is going to do the work. Henry, you got a word. And then
I was sitting there and I was saying, Lord, I just feel I have a word for someone, but I don't know. So I was just sitting and waiting. And to be honest, I didn't have a good weekend. So I wasn't really like, in a sense, praying for. But I felt God highlighted Connor and Timmy to me. And now they're sitting there at the back. But I felt this overwhelming presence of the Lord when I thought about you, about your worship. I don't know, my friend, there's a ministry there. And if I say ministry, don't think of you're going to be full-time musician now. That's what I used to think when I was young. Don't make the same mistake. So speak to me afterwards. But anyway, there's something about your worship. God's going to launch you into the presence of the Holy Spirit. Is going to change people's lives. And I almost felt like God saying is, I've been praying for your career, really. I've been praying for God to show you what you must do. And it's a big thing. But I almost feel like God wants you to work for Him. And He's going to guide you. I feel God's specific tasks for you. Is maybe He's asking you to play piano an hour a day, read a word for an hour a day, and then sell wood for an hour a day, and then do this. He's got specific, and then that will almost open up doors for you in your career and your ministry. So trust God for those specific, and Timmy as well. I also grew up in a Christian home, and you know, the most amazing parents, but somehow I walked away from God, and you know, when I was your age. But God's going to use that. You've almost seen the dark side of being away from what you've known and from Jesus. And I tell you, that's probably that when I was 14, 15, that was the darkest hours in my life, when I, for that brief moment, walked away from God. I can't describe you that emptiness I had. And God's going to also, that experience you had, it's going to launch you into a ministry of, I almost want to challenge you guys. The sky's the limit. If you feel God says to you, you must do an evening of worship. And you guys must organize, and Timmy's going to preach. Go for it. And study the Word of God. And I see you guys, I don't know, you must worship here, and you must preach here. And you must, and I know you're quiet, Connor. I used to be also quiet. You're a quiet guy, and that's amazing. And my kids are drawn to you. So you've got this sweetness and this quietness. And just, man, I almost want to prophesy. I want to speak to you. You're going to preach like your dad. I want to say it in the name of Jesus. That gifting is going to come alive in you, and you're going to preach the Word of God. You're quiet, but you're going to preach. And it's going to change people's lives forever.
Okay, after Heather, I'm going to ask the guys.
I'm not sure who this is for, but this week I was reading in Joshua, and the Israelites had just crossed over into the Jordan. They were in the Promised Land. And the Lord said, today I have rolled away the stone of your shame. And I just feel there's somebody here where they're in the Promised Land, but they're trapped in the tomb. And God says, today he has rolled away the stone of your shame. And there's freedom that comes in it. So don't let shame hold you back.
In Psalms today, and I was it was just like a little quote in my Bible, and it was saying that you can't miss the pride God feels and his pleasure in his creation. When he speaks in Psalms, it just comes through, like God just has this pleasure, and it's I was feeling that when John was talking about the painting and the painter, like it's almost like God is like saying, look at my painting, like he's so proud of his work, and that's the way he feels about us. And I was just feeling now that as we worship, that he feels even more pleasure when we as creation worship him, like he's proud of his painting and we're like proud of him as our creator, like just that reciprocation.
Thanks, Sinead. Thanks for your obedience. God honors that. I know it's stretching sometimes, but so for the rest of us, just I feel let's take a moment to worship the Lord in that. His creation. He's looking over us and he's proud of his creation. But at the same time, we're giving him adoration, like John says. We're giving him the praise. It's all about him. It's not really about us. And while we're in this moment of praise, I want to say, if you've never been given a prophetic word, come. Let's pray for you. Let's ask God to give you direction of his purposes, of his plans over your life. Okay, let's do that. Let's worship him. Cool.